The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, November 12th. And it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for the day. Today we're talking about diabetes. Today we're talking about diabetes because this month, November, is Diabetes Month. I have a doctor here, right? I have a nurse here. I have some parents here, but we are concentrating on a particular type of diabetes today. We ain't concentrating on diabetes 2 because diabetes 2 is people like me. We're talking about diabetes 1, which I am not familiar with because these are people who are born with diabetes. And it normally impacts children. I mean, of course, the children grow up to be adults, right? But imagine you're a parent, right? And you go to various clinics, whatever it is, and they tell you your child have diabetes and your child is 4, 3, 4, 5 year old. What do you do? What do you say? Right? And me being a diabetic and trying to traverse that and appreciating the impact of how it impacts me as an adult, and I'm trying to say, how does it impact children? Right? So that's what I'm concentrating on there. Kids with diabetes, type 1 diabetes. And as we celebrate in Diabetes Month, we have nurse, what is your name again? Come closer to the mic and tell me your name again.
Good morning, Bahamas. My name is Lindy Anna Ramming. I'm the president of the Bahamas Diabetic Association.
There is a diabetic association where you can get support. And
education.
And education.
Be advocate. Be
and counsel. I want nurse go in detail about that. So now tell me about the organization. What's the board? What is the purpose, objective of it? How long has it been in existence? So the listening audience who, especially again, we're talking about children. We're concentrating today. Today, even though it's Diabetes Month, we're talking about one particular diabetes. Yes. We're talking about today. And I want to give us as much information as I can before I go to the doctor and for her to give details on what is her association with all of this. But go ahead, tell me about
yes.
the organization.
So the Bahamas Diabetic Association was established in 1986, and it's been a member country, the International Diabetes Federation. So in 2020, the former president died, and it was reactivated by myself and a group of friends. So in 2023, I became the president of the Bahamas Diabetic Association. Our mission statement is to assist persons living with that, those who are at risk for diabetes and those who have diabetes, any type of diabetes. So we are the mother. We are the mothership. And Simon was DRI, which was a company that assisted persons with type 1. They don't exist anymore. So the Bahamas Diabetic Association, our goal is to be able to be that one-stop shop where we'll do research where the government can find out statistics, how much the need for the country. Right now, we're the fifth leading cause of that. So therefore, we're just so happy to have all on board. The children with diabetes, the diabetic educators is another arm of the Diabetic Association. So together, we are one. And I'm just so happy this year we came together. I tell you, the Lord just worked it, so we came together and met Dr. Chisholm, and she said, listen, I can do more than just be a member. And we just started the Kids with Diabetes Association. Really, Rotary gave $200, and we started our meeting in March, and we've been going on. We have our summer camp. We had our first summer camp, and just to be a support group, you should see it. the support group for the parents and the children to let them know they are not alone. So we're just happy to be one, and we want more. We want CGMs, we want everything to assist persons living with diabetes. Type 1 and type 2 all need help.
Okay, and before you go on, before I speak to Dr. Chisholm Smith, right, how do people get in contact with your organization, and just in case they want more support and information? I want to have that information out ahead of everything.
We have our Facebook. We have the New Bahamas Diabetic Association on Facebook. Our number is 828-4194, or you could call me 424-2019. We're working. We're looking for more assistance at the association office at St. Gregory Anglican Church. Can be open every day. We want to be able to continue to put on classes. We have 9 weeks of wellness classes. Persons, we have trained persons. We have a multidisciplinary team. However, persons need to be paid. So we have this 9 weeks of wellness. We want to, as persons be diagnosed with diabetes, we want them to come to classes and learn. Diabetes can be better managed, whether it's a child, whether it's an adult, we can manage better. So treating up the child in the way it should go, though it's type 1 and they're insulin dependent, they could be more healthy and have less side effects. Type 2 could be better managed, and we don't have to have all those side effects. We don't have to expect. We want people to know it's not a life sentence. It's not a death sentence. So as a nurse, I'm an educator. I was trained in diabetes. I'm certified diabetic. So, and I have 37 years as a nurse. I'm also addiction trained, gerontology trained, and psychiatric trained. So I'm here and I'm looking at the whole man. So as a leader, we cannot just be an association. No, this ain't no social club. This is all about how you can stay well, lifestyle changes, whatever we could do. So we do counseling, we do support group, we do education, and we do advocating. And so we're going to advocate and tell the government realize that more funding need to be done to the diabetic, for persons living with diabetes, those who are at risk for diabetes. We need more funding.
Okay, we're going to come back to that because we can lobby for that today on the station. But let me introduce to you to Dr. Chisholm Smith. Grab your mic right there, right? I have a narrative of the difference between a type 1 and type 2. I know we're concentrating on type 1 today, but I want to listen to the audience to appreciate what it is. I want to have some symptoms, explain the symptoms, so when you say time to go to the doctor and check, right? I want some, let's say cures or things that you should be doing if you get diagnosed. So you have at least 5 minutes worth of talking right there about type 1, type 2, symptoms, right, what we should be doing. And then tie that into the conversation we have today about this type 1 and the children that we have in studio. I know you're one of the leading pediatricians in the Bahamas, right? See the plug, right? So I'm glad that you're here concentrating on with the children again with this type 1. And I want also later on in the conversation, transitioning from a child with type 1 to an adult with type 1. I've never met an adult with type 1. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
I've never seen an adult. I had children. So I also want a narrative on what you mean by type 1 and you're an adult. But see all that information I want you to do? So without you start, just the difference so people can appreciate exactly what it is. Go ahead. I just need to hear you. Sorry.
Okay. Good morning, Bahamas. Like Mr. Nuri said, or CA, Dr. Chisholm Smith, one of the pediatricians, and I'm the medical lead for the Kids with Diabetes Support Group. So in regards to type 1 versus type 2 diabetes, both type of diabetes, you have the problem is you have elevated sugar. However, with type 1, the problem is with your production of the insulin. So what happens is your own immune system, which is supposed to be responsible for fighting infections like bacteria and viruses, and fighting bacteria and virus, it turns against its own self and actually destroys the pancreas. The pancreas is the part of the body that's responsible for making the insulin. So the kids with type 1, they are no longer able to produce insulin, and therefore they have a lifelong dependency on insulin. They have to take the injections in order to survive. Now with type 2, the difference is that it's usually related to lifestyle, your lifestyle. in that a long period of time of taking excess carbohydrates, excess sugar and fat, obesity, that type of thing will cause the insulin in the body or your body to become resistant to the insulin that you're making. So type 2s are able to produce insulin, but the body no longer responds to it as well. And type 2 is more so managed with lifestyle changes in addition to oral tablets or tablets taken by mouth. However, there are some type 2s who are also insulin dependent as well, because if it gets to the point where the tablets are no longer working, then they also have to take additional insulin as well. So the big difference with type 1 is that it's nothing that the child would have done that cannot be prevented. And that's important for parents and children to understand, because sometimes they think, oh, what did I do wrong? Did I give them too much candy? Did I do something during my pregnancy that caused this? It's nothing that really could have been done to prevent this. Whereas with type 2, in most cases, it's preventable based on, not all cases, not all type 2s are preventable, but in most cases, it's preventable based on lifestyle changes.
Let's talk with science.
Okay. So science. So you may notice some changes in your child. For instance, a child who was initially potty trained and didn't wet their bed, you may see all of a sudden they start wetting the bed or having to go to the bathroom more often than usual. They're very thirsty, just thirsty all the time, hungry all the time, and eating like crazy. And even though they're eating like crazy, they're still losing weight. So weight loss also is a sign of type 1 diabetes. So eating more, drinking more, peeing more, and also losing weight can be signs that that child may have type 1 diabetes.
Okay. I just want to get that narrative, because we have some parents in studio with their children, and their children have type 1 diabetes, right? I'm very protective of my child, right? So when I'm hearing your stories about diagnosis of type 1 diabetes and the care that you have to offer to your child, right? And care what you have to offer to your child. I become concerned, saying, "Man, how are you managing?" But I need to hear that narrative of what happened the first time you took your child to the clinic, the hospital, right? And then that diagnosis, the doctor telling you, your child have diabetes, right? Mm-hmm. And then one person want to have that story, and then the care, and how do you manage? So I'm going to go start off with you. Now you can introduce yourself and then explain your journey with your child, okay. Right? Again, going to the signs that you saw and going to the hospital and they telling you.
Good morning, Bahamas. My name is Raquel Sands. I'm the mother of Rodeo Sands. Speaking of signs, Dr. Chisholm, we had none. We had none. This is actually my second rodeo of my children. Rodeo is my youngest. He's 11. But I have a 25-year-old who also is a type 1 diabetic.
My gosh.
Yeah. She's 25. So she had it when she was 12. She was diagnosed at 12. And she had the signs. We weren't aware of the signs. The signs were a constant getting up in the morning and getting up throughout the night and urinating, mm-hmm. the constant thirst, the drastic weight loss. When we saw the drastic weight loss, as normal parents and as a mother, you're in the sixth grade, you're probably into boys, so we thought that was a part of it. But who really recognized the sign was her grandmother, who's a type 2 diabetic. She pricked her one night, and when she pricked her, the glucose was not reading on her monitor. Mm-hmm. So she then called us and she said, "You need to take my granddaughter to the doctor." Mm-hmm. We took her. When we took her there, they took the blood and it was about 700 or 800. Immediately.
700 or 800?
Immediately, we were ran into the ambulance and ran to the emergency of the hospital. By the time she got there, she was completely pale.
You're going in as an emergency?
Yes. The first one. And they had to insert, they had to find her vein to try to insert insulin or what is it called? Dr. Chisholm?
Insulin.
Into her so that she could come to, because she had already gone into diabetic coma.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was a scary moment for me.
I'm scared listening to the story.
As a parent, and that happening for the first time. For the second time happening, not knowing that I had another child with this.
Mm. No signs
No signs with him. He had no signs because Rodeo is very active.
Mm-hmm.
He has a healthy eating. Because of my daughter, we eat healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's active. He didn't have any of the constant peeing. He didn't have the weight loss. And he plays baseball. He plays sports. And so he had no signs at all. If it was not for the school medical that the students have to do when they are transitioning.
Thank God for the school medical.
Thank God for the school medical.
Okay.
When he was because he just graduated in June from grade 6 and transitioning into grade 7 as a junior.
Mm-hmm.
He had to do a
full medical
for school. Had it not been for that medical, when we did that, we would have not known that Dale.
You have a healthy child.
Healthy child.
Active. Boy, throwing things down and lifting up and playing karate and things.
Yes, doing all sorts of things. And his doctor, Dr. Pete, at the children's place, when we did the testing, she called me the following morning. She asked me, she said, did Rodeo have anything sweet to drink?
Mm.
I said, no, because he's going to labs. We know not to eat anything.
Yeah.
He's on a fast. And she said, he found out in his urine, his sugar levels is at 500.
Wow.
Borderline, she said, Miss Anne. So she put a rush on the blood. When that came back, that was extremely borderline as well. So she contacted PMH, accident emergency, we thinking that we're just going in for a follow-up to see what's going on. Because he's like, I just started baseball camp. We just going to check this out, and we going back to baseball camp. I'm like, no. So we waited there all morning and for the doctors to come and let us know that Rodeo has type 1 juvenile diabetes.
Let me speak back to Dr. Chisholm-Smith again. Dr. Chisholm, grab your mic again. Now, Rodeo, healthy boy, athletic. Mm-hmm. He's played sports, baseball star. Right? Mm-hmm. He did the annual checkups for the school they normally do because he's growing in grade 7. How is it that you're able to say that he is a type 1 rather than a type 2? Because he's active,
mm-hmm.
right? How is it that you're able to say that?
Right. So just statistically, when children are diagnosed with diabetes, over 90% of them are going to have type 1.
Okay.
Okay? That's number one. Number two, a child who was diagnosed with diabetes before puberty even has a higher chance of having type 1. It's very unusual to have type 2 diagnosed in a child before puberty. So when we do see type 2 in children, it's usually with obese adolescents.
Mm.
So based on his age and his pubertal status and just pure statistics, he would fit in the category of type 1. But we do go on and do confirmation tests where we test for those antibodies. Remember I said that type 1 is your own body fighting against itself. So there are something called antibodies that we test for to confirm that the diagnosis is type 1.
So now we have another parent in here. Again, parents, and I want to have both of them to speak. Now, a different question. Your child has been diagnosed with type 1. I want to understand the care because I'm trying to picture me every so often injecting myself and testing myself, the constant care of that and looking for numbers. You having a young child. How old are you?
8
years old. Small. Petite. How do you take care of him in terms of making sure he check for his sugar? Pricking him all the time because I can't picture you pricking this child all the time to talk about your sugar. I want to know that care. What is it that you do? How do you educate your son to make sure that he takes care of himself also? Because you're not with him all the time. And then you go to your husband and speak to him also about him being a man with a boy child. Responsibility to make sure he plays sports, to do what I call man stuff. And now he has a child who has type 1 diabetes. How does this impact him being his manly self, this daddy self, right? How's that? But go ahead, tell me that narrative.
Good morning, Bahamas. My name is Desiree Smith. I'm the parent of Karen Smith. Still is hard, but managing his diabetes, talking with his doctor. She guided us along the way, Dr. Chisholm Smith. Well, we do prickings 4 times daily.
You prick him 4 times?
Yes.
He's a monster.
For pre-breakfast, pre-lunch, and pre-dinner, pre-bedtime, for bedtime as well.
Why so many times?
Because we have to make sure that we know how much his glucose is before he eats.
Let's go through that routine. You prick him early in the morning. What are you looking for again?
We're looking for a glucose between 70 to 110.
If it's high, what do you do?
We pull back on his carbs. We pull back on whatever he eats. So if his normal breakfast every morning is grits and tuna, then we know, okay, well, we're not going to give him that grits and tuna this morning. We're going to give him something else.
Like what?
With low carb, like a low carb.
Reason why I ask because I got to evaluate for myself too. Yeah. High numbers, what do you do? You cutting out the grits and tuna?
We cutting out certain things. We just cutting back on it and giving him portions.
Okay.
We portioning it. We be counting the carbs. We got to do carb counting to make sure that it adds up to his glucose, to add up to his insulin that we're going to give him.
Okay.
He's also on a sliding scale, so we also use that sliding scale. And for snack, we give him, if his sugars are high for that morning snack, for snack time, make sure that it's zero carbs for snack time.
What kind of snacks you give him for zero carbs?
Well, boiled egg.
Okay.
We give him ham and cheese wrap.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that we give him.
So the doctor has explained to you things that you can do and snacks that you can eat and lunch and stuff like that.
Yes. Lunchtime, we basically do the same thing. We give him his normal food for lunch, but we cut back on how much we give him. We count. We do the count. At least we do the carb counting all the time, but we check his sugar pre-lunch so we be able to give him a certain amount of insulin for pre-lunch. We inject him a certain amount of insulin.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to do that, and we try to make sure that he has the food that he needs, and we try to manage his sugar the best as we could. We try to give him more veggies than anything.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Steamed veggies. We try to give him a lot of water. No juices, no sodas, no sweets.
Sure.
We give him sweets, maybe a candy, maybe juice, if his sugar is too low, mm-hmm. if he drop low. So we give him that.
So there are times that his sugar does drop low?
Yes.
And then you go and do the sugar.
We'll be giving him the sugar to bring back up his glucose.
Let's talk to Daddy here. You have a perfect child, right? Then he all of a sudden, the doctor tell you he's a type 1. You already have goals and objectives for him in terms of playing sports. You know, that man thing. Let's just do these things together. As a parent, as a male man, right? Trying to make sure he get all of these things you got to instill to your in your boy child. And knowing that he's a type 1 diabetes. How do you manage that? And have him play sports, have him be active, have him vulnerable, you know? He's a vulnerable child. Like, as man, how you manage with that?
Morning, Bahamas. Gary Smith, father of Cameron Smith. Hi, man. Yeah, when it first happened, you, like, and what you expect him to be doing or stuff like that. But, I mean, as it go on, you still got to watch him when he's doing certain things. I know certain sports he would like to play. But still just have to, you know, monitor him because you don't want nothing happening, him falling down, hurting himself or getting cuts or stuff. So, I mean, basically, I still just let him play sports now, but I guess it's be more vigilant. Why is he playing it?
Let me go back to the doctor. You know what, type 2, you got to be watching your feet and getting cut and thing. Do type 1 people have to worry about those things?
Right. So the complications that type 1s experience are similar to that of type 2. So even though the underlying resultant elevated sugar that occurs as a result, persistent elevated sugar that occurs as a result, ends up with the same complications. And the thing about with the type 1 diabetics, because they are diagnosed earlier in life, they actually get a head start on those complications as compared to their adult counterparts. So for a typical adult who may have developed type 2 in their 40s or 50s, their clock starts at that time. But these kids, their clocks are starting at age 4 and age 10, okay, and whatever age they have been diagnosed. Okay, so 20 years post-diagnosis for them is 25 years old or 30 years old when they are supposed to be at the prime of their life, you know, going to college, starting a young family and whatnot. So it's very, very important that, and that's what I explain to the parents all the time, even more so than the adults, these kids have to have excellent control because their clock is already ticking. Their clock in terms of developing the complications, the blindness, the kidney problems, the amputations. About blindness
and kidney problems now, right? Because downstairs, one of the type 2 diabetes, he's born, he's talking about my medication right mm-hmm. now, and he's blind in one eye because of diabetes. Mm-hmm. We have young kids here who, y'all are parents, y'all are concerned, right? I wear glasses, I take off my glasses, I can't see nothing, right? None of your kids wear glasses. Is that a constant concern that you have, saying, boy, if my child gets his foot cut and I have to worry about his kidneys and liver and so on? Like, I still want to talk to the mental thing about it. I don't even know what to question that. As a man, watching your kids and your mental capacity and protecting your kids right now. But this is my question I'm going to ask Daddy again. You can't watch your child 24 hours a day. He got to go to school. What you do to prepare him at school when it's fun day and cake being served?
Hey man, I'd sit down and have a talk with him. I let him know. Certain things like sweets you can't have.
You can't tell a child he can't have no sweets.
I mean, not.
I can take the sweets.
If your sugar high, you can't have it.
And he understands?
He understands it because he checks his own sugar.
His child is checking his own sugar?
Yes, he do.
You gotta explain how he's checking his own sugar? But introduce him. Let him tell me how he checks his sugar, because I can't imagine if I ain't checking my sugar, nice man, and he's 8 years old, right? How you get to convince him, teach him to check his sugar and know what the sugar means? Tell me about checking your sugar and what you're looking at. Tell him your name first.
Good morning, Bahamas. My name is Cameron Smith.
And how old are you, Cameron?
8 years old.
And you check your sugar?
Yes, sir.
How do you check your sugar?
Well, the first thing I do when I check my sugar is I take my alcohol pot, open it,
mm-hmm.
then I take my needle and put it in the pen.
My God.
Then I twist it until a certain amount. Then I get my scripts and put it in my monitor. Then I prick my own self. Then I check it.
What you checking for?
I check in to see if my sugar high or
How
low.
Do you know what is high?
High? High is really high. If you
like what number?
200.
So large, 200 is high, yeah. 200 is high.
Mm-hmm.
So you ever had a 200?
Yes, sir.
And what'd you do when you had a 200?
I check my urine.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep doing it. If my urine high and it ketones in my blood,
mm-hmm.
I just keep doing it and keep doing it and play and play and play that my sugar go low and I have no ketones.
So you technically exercise until then you check yourself repeatedly until the numbers come down. And you inject yourself with what? You take insulin?
That's all.
Okay, yeah, you take insulin?
That's all.
Interesting. We have another child here too who is a type 1 diabetes. Introduce yourself, and I see the phone, call a stone line. I want to know your experience. How do you know that your sugar is high?
Good morning, Bahamas. My name is Rodeo Sands. I attend the Gracie H. Reeves.
Look at you bringing up C.H. Reeves. Go ahead.
And I'm inside 7E. The way how I take my insulin, I take it through a pen.
Mm-hmm.
So I take off the needle that I already used, and I open up a next needle, and I roll it on.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I open it, I get an alcohol swab, I either stick myself in my arms, mm-hmm. my stomach, or my legs. Mm-hmm. And then when I wipe the spot, I wait for it to cool down, and then I stick and press down the button.
Who teach you that? But who teach you that?
My sister and my mother.
Okay. Your mom is whispering to you that you have a new way of checking for your glucose count. What is that new way you do?
I use a GCM that's attached itself to my skin.
On your arm. That's a new thing. I see a lot of people. I thought you need insurance for that.
You do.
All right, see? Because I want one of them and they tell me I need insurance for that. But then, so let's go. Because they need to be giving that to everybody. Go ahead.
And I believe that the GCM is needed to be inside the natural
lobby.
National insurance.
There you go. Talk it. Keep on talking.
Because it's an urge for, like, children. For me, when I used to stick myself, I got mad for when the blood didn't come out. Or, like, I sticked in a place where, like, where the blood does not come out.
And I go through all of that so I can imagine a child. But let's talk about this new thing, the patch thing you have on your arm. How does that work?
It's an app on the phone, but it does not sponsor in the Bahamas. So you're going to need a VPN of American country.
Look at you. Keep on talking. I'm listening.
And I actually did it all by myself on the app store.
Okay. Let's go talk to mommy. I got to call her. Call her coming to you next. But mommy, grab the mic. How much that cost? Sorry. How much that cost?
I have not a clue how much this costs.
How you get it?
Blessed.
You look blessed and highly favored, but I ain't helping the people who listen in.
I receive it. We were blessed to have Dr. Wentia Ford in our life, who was our sponsor for the monitoring system that Rodeo has. We met her through the baseball camp. She's Wentia Ford, the baseball player.
Yes.
This is his daughter. She's a Bahamian. She does not reside here. She lives in Edinburgh, Texas. Mm-hmm. And because of Rodeo being a part of her summer camp, she fell in love with him. Mm-hmm. And when she found out that he had diabetes, it was a great concern because she was once a peds doctor, but now I think she transitioned over to a practical, a family medicine now, mm-hmm. because she said the concern and the love that she had for children and not wanting them to see him go through that, she indicated that she will be a sponsor for us. These GCM or CM is at the cost about $200 and something
each.
And they are only for 14, 15 days. So you change them every 2 weeks.
$200 every 14, 15 days.
Yes. It's very costly, but it has helped Rodeo tremendously because he doesn't have to prick himself 4 times, 8, 10 times a day to check his glucose.
Let's talk to the doctor
again. This system does that for him.
Let's talk to the doctor. I should talk to the nurse too. What do we need to do to get all the children to get one of these?
Right. So
nurse, because I need commentary on you too. Like, Cole, I see you now. Forgive me, but go ahead.
So the big thing is cost. Okay, but however, when you look at healthcare and healthcare systems, you have to look at what you're saving down the line.
I get no money to save.
I'm talking about the the healthcare system.
Okay.
In terms of saving money, so these CGMs pretty much is standard of care in the United States now. So persons with type 1 diabetes in the United States pretty much don't prick anymore. Everyone's wearing a CGM. And they've done large studies that show that hospitalization secondary to complications of diabetes have decreased by over 50%.
Can you imagine?
We had a talk. Our KWD had a talk by one of our pediatric endocrinologists in Miami. And she said she hardly ever sees DKA. That's hospitalization from diabetes complications anymore due to CGMs being introduced. So one hospitalization, the cost of one hospitalization can buy hundreds of CGMs. Because most of the time when these kids are hospitalized secondary to DKA, they are in ICU.
Mm.
Okay, so they're on monitors for days. They are on infusions for days. And we're not even talking about days lost from work for the parents and days lost from school and all of these other things that you have to think about from an economic standpoint. So persons in government and the decision makers have to take these things into account when they make decisions. So yes, maybe it's $400 a month, per child, but that's retail. So if you have a whole country that's purchasing these, then you have purchasing power, and you can get them for a cheaper price, right? And so I do feel that the exchange that we would get with having these kids on CGMs would be very beneficial to the healthcare system at large. And of course, it's a game changer for these kids and their quality of life if they're able to have them.
Nurse, give some commentary on it. Looks like we need to contact Kiwanis and Rotary to say help, because our government needs support. But go ahead.
Yes, we this is what we're advocating for. We need, you can imagine, treating up the child, right? The child growing to an adult. You can imagine they're going through adolescent phase and have to deal with diabetes also. And then they grow into adulthood.
No 80-year-old must be going through this.
And the thing about it is, when they turn 18, they ain't no longer on the health plan.
Oh, gosh.
To get the insulin thing free. It's either you covered under 18 or over 65. So that working class person, if you don't work for government or have insurance, you on your own. Do I buy medication or buy food? Do I pay my rent? And all the complications. So you could imagine if everyone, when I went to Thailand to the conference, everyone had CGM. I said, Lord, I want that for the Bahamas. I want that for us, because guess what? We'll have a healthier nation. It'll be less amputation and all the side effects. Less persons on dialysis. So needed to give the parents peace of mind. Give the teachers peace of mind. Some school wouldn't even accept them.
Yes, I can imagine.
You can imagine.
As a teacher or educator, I would be defensive too now, because I'm responsible for your
the
health.
The fair,
right? And going back to the parents, I'm calling you a call now, because once I see you bring up, I'll stop everything, because we're going to take a quick commercial break soon. But so now is the call. As a parent, right? You entrusting your child to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. I defensive when it comes to my children, right? How comfortable you are to say, send them to C.H. Reeves and say, man, don't worry, he's straight, right? Fun day come, he's straight.
Very confident, very. I have a strong village there at, as Rodeo say, the great C.H. Reeves.
So the school got to be involved.
The school has to be involved. Everyone needs to be informed of his condition, just in case something happens, they are aware. And that village of the principal and the vice principal there, Mrs. Bo, who is always checking in on him. She calls him her grandson. So he, with the CGM, I think he had an incident where he was in the classroom and it was ringing off. He had a low sugar.
What do you mean ringing off, though? What rings off?
Because of the app, he set up the app. When his sugar is high or low, it sends an alarm to the phone.
Like a ping, 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 ping?
Yeah, a serious alarm. At that time, when Rodeo was low in class, he turned off his phone because he said he didn't want to be disrespectful and have it on. But it's very important that he has it on because he could have dropped. And when he noticed the sign that his sugar was dropping, he took her. And she fussed him and she told him, you need to have this on at all times so that we can know whether you're going in a high or a low. That's how important that CGM is. And so I'm thankful for his village, the vice principal, his teachers, even his classmates there at CH.
I'm going to the next parent. You know your nurse at the school too?
Yes.
They're active and they're explaining things? And
very active at Faith Week Christian Academy. Very active. We have a nurse that... it's very caring, loving to Cameron. She checks on him in the morning when he comes. She checks on him for pre-lunch, and she checks on him after school.
Okay, that's good to know.
Also the principal, mm-hmm. vice principal, everyone in the office, and the teachers.
And these people aware of what diabetes is, type 1, type 2, and stuff like that? They understand it?
The nurse to a certain point.
Yeah, but I think education needs to be
done. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to this caller here, then we'll take a commercial break there. And you're having a big event happening soon. So let's start talking about that big event. And I need a lobby for the Rotary and for the Kiwanis to try and get, what the thing called again? This thing we need, everyone?
CGM, it stands for Continuous Glucose Monitor.
Well, the caller, hang up. That's coming to you, caller. The caller, hang up. So let's take this commercial break. Doc, you know I can ask you what that thing name again, right? because I want Rotary. So I can keep on calling their name. Rotary and Kiwanis need a partner with the government now to get enough.
These private organizations, these big investors.
Yes. We need to get them involved. So we need you to lobby and to remind them that the price of it is how we can buy these in bulk for our children. We need to find out, when we come back, how many Bahamian children have type 1 diabetes? What numbers are we dealing with, right? This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. It's Diabetes Month. We're concentrating on kids living with diabetes in the Bahamas. I just found out that there's a whole, what that thing is again, Doc?
CGM.
That they can get. We need to get it in the Bahamas. We need these NGOs to commit and helping the government to get these things. We have two brave young men in studio who are dealing with type 1 diabetes, and they're telling their journey on what they got to do every day, what their parents got to do every day in order for them to live a good quality of life. We're going to be right back.
They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com. and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Starting 2, 3. Good. Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I was talking to the nurse and I was talking to the doctor about my new ring that is giving all kind of information. And then Dr. Chisholm Smith saying, "You sure that I said it's real? I didn't say, well, it got to be real. It
gets a printer. Like testing,
can you imagine? Blood? Yes, I agree. Let's go to this caller and then we'll talk about your event and what's happening. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. Oh, only two of you all got to put on your hairpiece so you can hear the caller. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, we live.
Yeah, okay. Good morning to you and good morning to the guests. Now, my concern is why they don't have that, the one with sticking, I think it's sticking on your arm or whatever. Why is that got to be so expensive?
Go ahead, Dr. Chisholm. Why got to be so expensive?
Big Pharma. Mm-hmm. Right. So Big Pharma, that's how they, we don't set the price. So these things are imported. And so we are really dependent on the companies that sell all these devices. So we don't set those prices and we have no control over the prices. The best we can do is purchase them and sell them at cost or have the government or other private agencies sponsor. But we ourselves, we don't have any control of the price.
Yeah, I know you don't get. So what I really want to get at, why is it that the government do not try to see if they could get it here at, you know, at a reasonable price, because I think a lot of people will go for that.
So what, this is why we're having these conversations now. So going forward, we have to sit at the table with NHI and NIB Drug Plan, Minister of Health, and all of these decision makers to make them aware of these things, and also to have a seat at the table when they put these medications and supplies for tender on for the drug plan. So that's our hope, to be advocates going forward, to be advocates for the children.
I hope we could get that sorted, because they have two different brands with that. I watch it on TV. One can run for longer days and all. But it'll be great if we could get that coming at a reduced price, because that $400 a month is a lot of money. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Nurse, what's our numbers in terms of children living with type 2 diabetes?
I think we have roughly 150.
So we have 150
not only in Nassau and the Family Islands, type too.
One. Yeah. So 150 behemoths with type 1.
So
children.
So during our last MAB conference, NHI actually gave some on chronic non-communicable diseases in general. And one of the numbers that were mentioned were children under the age of 18 who have diabetes. And from what I remember, the number was about 130 to 150 living in country.
We should be able to afford to give them this new thing. That's 100%.
Right. Yes. So the numbers themselves aren't that big, but the impact is very great. When we review our statistics, like when we do quarterly and biannual reviews of our statistics in terms of our hospital admissions, we saw that 25% of our ICU admissions were from diabetic ketoacidosis.
I have two questions, because I just realized what time it is, because we got to promote the event. Mm-hmm. One, type 1 adults, I don't know any, so I want you to quickly comment on that and then stop and go straight to promoting.
Okay, so there are definitely type 1 adults out there, because fortunately we give a good care to the kids. They live to be adults, and that is our goal, for them to live to be adult. And there are some adults who are diagnosed with type 1 after the age of 18 as well. So those would be the ones, adults living with type 1. But just to get into our events that we have planned, we're talking about how expensive these devices are and other supplies. We need funding in the kids with diabetes and the BDA. This Friday, we want all schools, all students participating in the Wear Blue Day, where each child wearing blue would sponsor $2, donate $2 to the Kids with Diabetes support group, and then the schools would donate the money raised to the Kids with Diabetes. So it's the kids with, you can go on the BDA's Facebook page to learn more. You can sign up your school so that your kids would be wearing blue that day, pay $2, and donate to the Kids with Diabetes support group. Also, the Rotary will be having, we keep mentioning Rotary. Rotary has been great to the BDA and the Kids with Diabetes, and they are having a health fair on November 22nd. Where adults and children, the pediatric department at PMH will have a booth there, assessing children and pretty much assessing them more for their risk of developing type 2. So we're doing their weight, their heights, their blood pressure. And also we have other private sponsors and booths that will be there checking adults, the blood sugar. And also we have restaurants that serve healthy food that will be there as well. So we want everybody there. And I heard Mr. C.A. Nuri is going to be our TJ, our MC.
Really?
That's what I was told. Mr. C.A. Nuri will be the MC.
Which date is this again?
November 22nd.
Let's go there.
Saturday, November 22nd.
Okay. But I want to remind everybody, because we have two more minutes. Give me the dates, everything again, one more time.
So...
No, you go ahead, speak, and then go back to the dates again.
I remember when I stated that the app was not in reach of this region for the CGM.
Okay.
So I wanted, like, I'm a little bit concerned for, like, if they do consider our recommendations for, like, how the app is not in the region.
That makes sense. We got to lobby for that, too. And see, that's why you need an astute. Yes. But go ahead. I want everyone to remind me of the date again.
We also, on World Diabetes Day, November 14th, Friday, November 14th, we're also having a free symposium at St. Gregory's Anglican Church, along with the kid's going to be at Blue in school. Okay. So we're asking the adults to come. This year's theme is diabetes well-being in the workplace.
Okay.
So it's free at St. Gregory Anglican Church from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. We have speakers. We have Dr. Christine Parker-Curling, an endocrinologist. We have Dr. Kirk Christie, a psychiatrist. We have Dr. Lavard Roberts. And we have nutritionist, Ms. Camelda Barnes.
Okay. And I appreciate it. Go ahead.
And Dr. Chisholm will be speaking about KW, Kids with Diabetes.
Give me the date again.
It's November 14th, this Friday, World Diabetes Day. Please wear blue. We got to blue up the place.
Okay.
We have T-shirts on sale for $15, no matter the sign. And we have pins, diabetes pins, for $5.
You have 30 seconds, Dr. Chisholm.
So, yes, I just would like to encourage everybody to participate and also to sponsor the kids with diabetes. Everybody in the entire Bahamas should be wearing blue this Friday. I think it's safe to say that just about everybody has been affected by diabetes in some way, whether it be an adult or a child. So let's bring awareness to this very important disease. And everybody, please attend our health fair on November 22nd at Holy Trinity Anglican Church.
And
where do I buy it from?
At St. Gregory. Or just call me 424-2019. I got my car full of shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dance for Diabetes is Saturday.
This Dance for Diabetes now?
Yes, they also supporting us.
And that's Saturday?
That's Saturday at Goodman's Bay.
Goodman's Bay? Yes. Okay. And your phone number for the call about that?
424-2019.
This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And for the two brave young men who's in studio, be trailblazers. I'm very impressed and proud of you that you're able to test yourself and protect yourself and move forward. Thank you very much, parents, too, for your support of them. I mean, this is tremendous. Thank you very much, nurse. Thank you very much, doctor.
Thank you for having us.
Great pleasure. And tell Ms. Wimbrist, I say, I guess I'd be MCing something on the 27th. Have a wonderful day. God in the AM.
Thank you.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.